11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you are listening to The Ooze, your host T.C. Downey and Jason Sorrell. T.C., what's going on tonight, man? How you been?
I've been all right, man. A little bit busy. It's kid weekend, and on top of that, I actually got some work going, so, you know, I was busy. Nikki's sister got married on Friday, and the reception was held Saturday night, so we did that too. That was kind of cool. One of the things I guess I could say that I found probably the most interesting of everything that's happened to me this past week is I actually got to kind of get into the coding for CNC metal mill, a steel mill, you know, one of those little machines. You type in all these coordinates, and it carves things three-dimensionally out of metal.
Right on.
So, yeah, I mean, that was kind of cool. That's something I guess I'm going to be getting involved with more and more as part of my apprenticeship or whatever you want to say. I'm going to kind of do some moonlighting with them there and learn how to actually make these tattoo machines right out of hunks of metal so that they're one solid piece.
That is definitely cool.
Yeah,
I've read a lot of materials on machine building, you know, building the platform basically, and, you know, doing it one piece versus, you know, multiple pieces and everything else, different design, different considerations. So yeah, man, that sounds like a lot of fun. And the other thing with that is if you get into it and you get into machine customization, where you're fabricating your own little face plates to go on these machines and everything else, especially if you know what you're doing, machine collectors. I happen to be one myself, you know, that if you put out some cool machines that run really well and look really good, you know, aesthetically pleasing, there's a market for it, man. So awesome.
Right on. Well, I mean, I already kind of asking questions. I'm trying to figure out if there's a reason why tattoo tubes are always solid one piece. Well, they're not actually one piece. Usually they're several pieces put together. But I'm wondering if there's a reason why it's a solid piece rather than actually being done up with like some kind of reverse negative image cutout. You know, I think that would be kind of neat if you had, like, the silhouette of a skull cut out of a tattoo tube or whatever. If you like Howdy fucking Doody, you could have Howdy Doody space on it.
Right. So, and I know with tubes, like with the grips, you might be – so that particular piece, you know, not so much the needle reservoir and not so much the tube itself, but the grip, you could maybe get into some sort of customization.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, getting something
right
in there to where, you know, I mean, think about this, man. If you've got a studio and you've got four or five artists there and all of them have their own sets of tubes, what's the likelihood that they're not going to end up getting mixed up and one guy's going to, you know, end up with an extra, I don't know, eight-round shader tube and you know, they can't tell whose is whose.
Right on.
God, this way, you know, a little bit of customization, a little bit of personalization, and it'll be a lot easier to figure out which shit is your shit.
Right on. Designer tubes, man. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it's something I just been kind of kicking around in my head as I've been watching this machine come up off the ground. And, I mean, that's one thing I'm definitely going to be getting into, so...
Right on.
I think it'd be kind of neat. There's this one of the machines in the shop took a piece of wood, and I kid you not, it couldn't have been more than about an eighth of an inch thick, and it's like a 3-inch square, and it carved out a inking calendar on it. You know how detailed those are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wow. It's carved
out perfectly.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So, I mean, there's some pretty cool shit that's going on. I guess this is this is just some of the stuff that John's got his hands into.
Right on.
So,
right on.
And the deal for me is I'm learning everything. I'm not just like sticking to some prima donna aspect that I want to be just a tattoo artist. I want to be a master of the craft, you know?
Right, right. And the more you know about that machine, the better equipped you are to, you know, to get it to run the way you want it to run, to deal with issues and, you know, to do those little things that, you know, make a difference between a liner and a shader. And, I've seen different people have different types of machines to achieve different effects as far as their shading is concerned and things like that. So, yeah, absolutely. That sounds really cool, man. Awesome.
Yeah, I want to also get into making common steel needles.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can get a lot finer of a point on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So that'd be cool.
That's what it is.
I haven't been doing anything nearly as exciting. I posted a video. I don't know. It was last week. That showed the newest Demon Girl design that I've done, actually in transition. So what I did is, you know, I drew a little bit of it, then I took a picture, and then drew a little bit of it, and then took a picture. Then, you know, went on to Photoshop and made sure, you know, that every stage of the process of, formatting it and coloring it, that you got to see a little shot of it. So it kind of fades from, you know, a sketch all the way to a finished piece. So that was, you know, that was fun. I thought people might dig seeing that or enjoying seeing that. And then the other thing I did was, and the intention here, I did that Demon Girl for SIN, the Satanic International Network, you know, one of our sponsors here on Views. I did that Demon Girl about a year or so ago. And, you know, some people bought some stuff. And the intention was to merchandise the stuff and then use the merchandise to kind of, you know, help fund SIN, basically. So that was the thought process, because I dig the forum, I dig what they're doing there, and we're going to talk a little bit about SIN tonight, too. And as far as tonight's show, for those people listening going, okay, what the hell is the show about this evening, I couldn't think of any one thing I wanted to talk about. Even as I was logging in tonight, I saw a story about the U.S. going to war with Iran, and it's not a true declaration of war, but there is a thing going on in the Senate where, you know, they're basically a bipartisan group of senators is saying Iran has, you know, a time limit. They only have, you know, so long to keep dicking around, and the U.S. is going to just go to war. Just go, fuck it, we're going in there. So look for a war in Iran here by the end of summer, I imagine. So crazy shit like that. But anyways, the SIN stuff, this Demon Girl I wanted to design, I designed this specifically in mind for SIN. And my thinking was that I wanted something that would fit on a button better. And the original Demon Girl that I did, I just really was never, you know, thrilled with. I liked it. I thought it was a cool design and everything else, but it wasn't, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just, it wasn't as far along as I'd like it to have been. And then, I don't know. It seems like, you know, comparing my stuff, the stuff this year to the stuff I did last year, there's been a progression. So I cranked up this Demon Girl, and I went ahead and got it, you know, formatted. And now there's a sticker, there's a selection of shirts, a hoodie, and of course buttons. So there's something basically for every price point out there, you know, from like $2.49 all the way up to like almost $40 or something like that. For people, if they want to buy something that will help support SIN, and all the profits from the sales of that merchandise is actually going to go to the Satanic International Network. And the last time, just to be completely frank, the last time it wasn't a huge amount of money that actually, you know, was generated by that. So I'm hoping that these pieces will do a little bit better. And I'm also making them available to a larger demographic, basically. It's not just on the Creative Body Studios website that you can find these. If you go on to Cafe Press or whatever, you'll actually find these. So I'm hoping also that we'll get some exposure to a lot of people in, you know, markets in different countries who see my stuff and buy my stuff elsewhere. So thought that would be kind of cool. So
I mean, one of the things that I actually kind of picked up on, and I don't know that whether or not you've always done it, but I thought it was really neat when I was watching that video in the process that you actually do a kind of a 3D modeling before you draw the hard lines to it. And that was kind of neat to see that process come together like that.
Yeah, the drawing process, there's a lot of buildup. You start out as a rough sketch, and that particular demon girl, that was version two, basically, of that demon girl. So I drew it once and I wasn't happy, and so I ended up drawing it again. But yeah, I mean, it's always a buildup from, you know, from a basic rough sketch to the final piece. I'm posting a link right now into the chat room, HTML. There we go. So there's a link that should take you, I guess not. I was going to say this is the link that's going to take you to the Titanic International Network's merchandise page. That sucks. Hang on a second. Don't know why it didn't. Yeah, I don't know why it's not completely. But so copy and paste that, I guess, into a URL bar. And that should take you to the page with the on Creative Body Studios with the Sin merchandise. And it didn't work. Let's see here. I know why it didn't work. Because I have a colon there. I have a semicolon there instead of a colon. So I'm talking and typing at the same time, and it just doesn't work out. Yeah, damn it all. So hang tight, folks. So yeah, I thought that people would dig it, seeing the process. There it is. There's the that should take you to the Sin page. Yeah. So I thought it would be cool if people see the process and everything else. And I always dig that too. I go on YouTube and I see people, you know, the build up and everything else. I always find it interesting how they go about doing it. You know what kind of blows my mind is when I see somebody drawing. Is when they freehand something and they don't do that kind of frame that they build up on. You know what I mean? That they just
right.
completely do it freehand and the proportions are perfect and everything. That just blows my mind. I mean, the hand and eye coordination that's involved in that and everything else, I'm always impressed with that. But me, I have to do the, you know, meticulously, you know, create the object. And to me, the drawing process has always been like basically it's sculptural in my mind, that I'm building down, not so much building up, even though it looks the reverse when I'm doing the drawing. So check that out. Check the link out. So the Sin merchandise, and buy something. Buy a button. Buy a sticker. All the money is going to go to the Satanic International Network to help support and maintain the site, to help take a load off of, you know, Zach a little bit financially, and who, you know. And it's cool stuff, man, at least I think. So you get a little something for your donation. It's not just handing money over, but you get a little something nice. And it also, the stuff helps promote Sin, so other people will see it if you wear it or you put a sticker someplace or wear the buttons, wear the shirts. And the other thing, and the Demon Girl, of course, that I ended up using for the Sin merchandise, she is not topless like the original Demon Girl was. So you can wear the clothes to, you know, school or work or whatever, I guess. I don't know. For those of you that have, like, jobs and shit. So anyways.
Right on.
Yeah, hey, and I guess we were talking about some stuff, you know, coming into the show, and I, like I said, I've got a whole list of things that I kind of wanted to touch on tonight. The and I just mentioned briefly, and I won't get too deep into it, a group of senators, bipartisan senators, including Bill Lieberman, Blumenthal, Kuhn, but peoples with D's, R's, and I's by their names, basically. Anyways, these dudes, these senators have gotten together and they've put together it's like a pre-declaration of war. So the document's already ready to go. And they're saying that, you know, the Senate's fully behind, you know, invading Iran and taking out any type of, you know, nuclear infrastructure they've got going on there. So, you know, they're getting ready to go to war. And Iran's pushing their luck, basically, with this weapons program. Personally, you know, first of all, I think any sovereign nation has a right to develop whatever energy program it wants to develop. I'm not for people who are against us as a culture, who are against us as a society, having the ability to, you know, reach out and destroy us, reach out and do a certain damage. but I cannot deny, I mean, if we have the right to have nuclear weapons, what makes us more responsible here in the United States than, say, those people in Iran? You know, very little. You know, it's just we understand our culture because we're in it. These people, they have a different culture. They have a different way of doing things. Jamie and I, as we sat at the table tonight, we talked about it, and not so much, I think this is even before the story came up, and the prediction we made was that, I mean, she says within the next 5 years, I say within the next 10 years, I'm maybe a little bit more of an optimist, we're going to see a nuclear weapon used in some sort of conflict in the Middle East, that is going to happen. You know, that's the direction everything's moving towards, but... You know, that's also just the nature of – you got all these countries, I think, you know, catching up to the rest of the world as far as their technology and everything. And as these countries catch up, as these countries, you know, come up to speed, if they're going to have a real presence in the world as far as being, you know, involved in our governments, involved in our economies and everything else, well, then they need to come to the table as equals. And the only way to come to the table as equals is to put a nuclear missile in your back pocket, basically. So –
Right on.
What do you think, man? Yeah, what's your opinion on that?
Man, all the shit that I've been seeing going on just kind of in my mind points me to the idea that, and I really don't know how else to put it outside of, I mean, you said a lot of the stuff that I would think, but it just seems to me like the inevitable collapse of things that, you know, we've kind of become familiar with. If you look throughout history, you see all of these societies that are constantly, you know, they're constantly trying to acquire more territory, trying to force their own thing on other people. And, you know, because of that, it's just always eventually you get into a fight with somebody you need. And at this point, I mean, we're heavily dependent upon the fossil fuels that we get from over that area. And we as, you know, as your common man, your everyday guy, you know, we're seeing the effects of it. We're watching the gas prices climbing. And it's just a matter of time. They cut that fuel. And even if we, you know, were to try to implement and redirect what we actually have here naturally, we're going to see a real collapse of the economy even further than what it is. And for a while, I think things are going to kind of get disheveled, disoriented. It's going to put us in a kind of a state of weakness. And that's my real fear here, is that they're going to mistake that as blood in the water. And that's why we'll see that nuclear bomb happen. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I mean... Again, like I'm saying, it's everything that you're saying, but it's also just kind of looking at the psychology that's going on here. And we're basically picking a fight with, you know, with people that we need, we do business with. And they're waiting patiently because eventually we're going to overreach. And when we do, that's when it's going to happen.
Right. No. Yeah. And I totally agree with that. But that's, I mean, it's coming. And it, you know, however it's going to happen, it's going to go down. This is going to sound a little fucked up maybe, but you know, when you look at Iran, and those countries, I would almost argue to say that they have more of a, urge to resist this kind of one world government idea. And I'm not saying I'm opposed necessarily to a one world government. But if you want to talk about a group of people who are struggling to remain independent, it's Iran. Countries like Iran, who, you know, they want to remain their own sovereign nation. They don't want to, you know, be forced to join into any type of community, any type of, you know, government structure, any type of economic structure. That they want to come to the table and be an equal partner. And that just, you know, that doesn't exist anymore. Unless, of course, you have those nuclear weapons. And just like you said, when they look at what's going on in our economy, I mean, they look at the shit we do right now. You know, when, you know, one person, you know, for every homeless person, there's 24 empty houses in the United States. The amount of the obesity in the United States, you know, and it's our success has made us fat, basically. Fat in many different ways, not just, you know, not just physically fat, but we've become lackadaisical. Which means, you know, lazy or we don't care. And they see that. We become decadent. decadent, not necessarily in a good way, but decadent to the point where we don't think we're at risk. We have a reason to stay sharp. And they're going to see that as weakness, just like you said. And when they see that blood in the water, as you know very astutely pointed out, it's going to give them reason to attack. They're going to feel justified in doing it because they're going to see us as a blight, basically. So yeah, man. So look for that. Like, it's something to think of. So now the upside to all that is that, you know, of course, when everything gets the shit torn out of it, well, then that gives you an opportunity to build and rebuild maybe something better. So it sucks that, you know, it's going to take the imminent collapse of society for that to happen. But yeah, that's what I see coming. Speaking of conflict, and of course, the Satanic International Network bringing all this into focus, I noticed there's been a kind of a cleaning of the house, basically, at Sin, and it's got some people talking about what's going on at Sin, and it's, you know, there's a bunch of this is what's going to happen when you have an internet forum. You're going to have people who are going to get involved, and they're going to troll it. They're not going to have any respect for your house. They're not going to have any respect for the people that have been there for a long time and everything else. And the reason that it seems like there's been this uptick of it in Sin, not that it hasn't been there always, but the reason it seems like there's been this recent uptick in it, I think, is because of the success of the Satanic International Network. That you basically Sin has, you know, your My Satan went away. The 600 Club, you know, not doing well, if it's doing anything at all, if it's even still existent. So, you know, Sin is the last forum standing as far as this type of, you know, of community online. So all the knuckleheads that were at these different groups and everything else and being tolerated or pushed into a corner or dealt with, they're now all coming over to Sin. But one of the concerns I hear being voiced is that there's going to be all these rules that are going to start showing up where, you know, these rules didn't exist. And the problem I see with there being rules in this kind of form, and I know that Zach might be listening, so if he wants to call in and chime in on this or whatever. And I popped in there. I've seen some different, you know, I don't know if rules have been posted or anything. But I think Bourne had to go ahead and give the kibosh, give the boot to a bunch of people. And then he felt it was necessary to give a rationale for that. When, you know, he's an admin, I don't know if necessarily he should have to present a reason. It's good to have a justifiable reason. The problem with having reasons or having rules or whatever is that once you establish a precedent, when you say, we kick this person out because of this, this becomes the rule in this forum, that you do this, we're going to boot you just like we did this guy. And then when that rule isn't equally enforced on every violator in the forum, well, then you're going to have a bunch of other people cry foul. When you boot the one troll for spelling and grammar and spamming and all their other bullshit, and then what the next troll is going to do is he's going to follow every rule that you've listed to the letter, and then start calling you out when you don't do it to people who have been there for a long time. But I go in and check it out every once in a while. I'm not as heavily participant as I used to be. I know there's some people that are really, really, you know, deep into it. That's where they hang out on the internet, that know more about it than I do. What's your take on all that, man?
I've been watching what's going on Sin, and I honestly, I don't know where, you know, these ideas that there are going to be more rules come in. I mean, it's always been pretty plain and simple there at Sin. If you act like an asshat, you're gone. That's the primary rule. It doesn't matter if you decided to pop on the front page and spam the shit out of it, and that's why we kicked you out. The real root reason of it is you're an asshat. It doesn't really matter what happens. It's just when you get on there and you start acting like a cocky jackass, like an asshat, you're basically begging for it, so you're just being given what you're asked for.
And it's what I'm hearing. Oh, go ahead, dude. Go ahead, man.
I'm just saying that's plain and simple it. If you use common sense and you know, use basic social graces, and social graces are definitely standards that we operate by. You can see it in full display the whole time that you're sitting there. You know, if you're cool with people, people will be cool with you. If you come across as a cocky schmuck and you can't back your shit, it's going to get hammered. So, go ahead.
Oh, I said, and that's what I see as the right way to handle it. And I don't know what the, you know, where it was coming from that there were, you know, there was going to be rules or there was going to be some sort of, you know, guidelines or what have you. I think part of it is just arose from the different, you know, the admins giving a rationale for why they were booting people or why these people were being kicked out. Where, you know, the rules are right there at the top of the page. And one of the things that's right there is stratification is in full effect here. You know, the longer you're a participant in sin, the longer that you are cool, just like you're saying, that you know who to deal with and how to deal with them. And, you know, you're basically part of the community. You earn more privileges. So when you see somebody being a douchebag and you go and you step on them hard, well, the bullshit that wouldn't normally be tolerated is tolerated from you because you've proven yourself. You've proven that, you know, you're there, you're part of the forum, you have the forum's best interest in mind, and that's as it should be. You know, the admins who are, you know, our admins, they're that because, you know, Zach or whoever, you know, handpicked them, said, you know, yeah, man, I know you, I trust you, I trust you to make good decisions, and you know, let's go ahead and make you an admin. So your decisions, we're going to run with that. And sometimes, you know, Zach doesn't always agree with those decisions. We've seen that happen also. But that's just kind of the way it is in these forums. So, yeah, I guess, you know, it was hearing that, you know, you're seeing certain things like, you know, spelling and grammar has to be solid. All right. Well, yeah, it helps to be able to communicate, I think, especially in this text type thing that we do. But, you know, not everybody's spelling grammar is perfect, especially some of the people that actually have something to contribute. Or, you know, a lot of times we get on sin and we're hammered, man. We're, you know, we're on our 12th shot of, you know, of hard liquor or whatever, and it's for just bullshit. So I think Zach's on the line. I don't know if he wants me to bring him on or what. Let me go and bring him on.
Yeah, fine. In the meantime, I guess I'm just going to kind of throw out there, man, a while back, Zach made a post that he was going to leave the decision of who stayed and who went to me. And I said I couldn't do that, that it was the people that use it that ultimately decide that thing, you know, and that's just the nature of the website and in my opinion, the ingenious part of sin. That's what I think Zach did right, was allow it to be what it is.
Now that's the one thing I did see was that people were clamoring for certain people. You know, obviously they've been a douchebag to too many different people. So when you got the people that have been there for a long time who have established some street cred in sin, calling these people out and going, "Hey man, just get rid of this guy. This guy's a douche. Those girls an asshat. Whatever, get rid of them." That's when the admin kind of, you know, stepped in and took action. So, Zach, are you on the line, man?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, yeah. We can hear you, dude.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you know, couple...
Go ahead, dude.
You guys brought up a couple of really good points, and I'll touch on the last one the Beast made, was that, you know, I think that the site, pretty much the decisions of who stays and who should go, should be left up to the people that use the site the most, people that contribute the most, whether they're admins or not admins. These are the people that spend the most of the time and add the most content. So when new people come in there, you know, and they're disrespectful, just outright insultive, you know, derail threads, like people will make threads of important stuff or something that has substance, and then it'll wind up into this, "Oh, shut the fuck up, stupid cunt, suck my dick, nigger," shit like that. It's just like, come on, you know. And then as far as the grammar and stuff goes, like, I'm one of the last people to, like, try to correct people on grammar, because my spelling and my punctuation and grammar kind of sucks, especially if I'm drunk. But, you know, I take the time to at least use spell check, you know, even the occasional typo or whatever. But people that are causing the issues, that are what I call dumbing down the forms, is the people that talk like they're texting, you know, on their phone, and they abbreviate everything, you know, they use, like, ghetto slang, And then they just post like one sentence like, suck my dick, nigga. You know, and these are the people that really just make the site look stupid. And that's my main concern. Like, I mean, I like to see people have it out. I like to see problems resolve themselves between the users. Because in a sense, mm-hmm. it's kind of stratification. The one that has the most substance and the one that has the most intelligence will usually win out in an argument. But at the same time, since everything that gets posted gets, you know, reposted on the front page, I'm looking at it from like a network owner where it's like if people are coming to the network who've never been there, they're like, oh, this might look cool. And then they see a bunch of, you know, fuck you, cunt, suck my dick, you know, that type of shit all over the front page. It just looks like a bunch of high school kids throwing sand in each other's face.
And that's because that is behavior of a bunch of high school kids. And so we're treating it right, man. We spank the fucking bitches and, you know, let everybody else do their thing.
So, and there you go, folks. For the people that were concerned about there being rules or whatever, you know, right from Zach, it's just, you know, handle your shit, handle your business. And it says it right there on the front page. When you look right at the top, handle your business, stratification in full effect. You know, you'll be crushed by the wheel of satanic progress. So, yeah, that's what I would expect from the forum. And yeah, I'm glad to see that it actually went down that road. Because, again, a lot of people, you know, stepped up and said, hey, these people need to be taken care of, gotten rid of. But this brings me to another point that, and Zach, I want to get your opinion on this too. This is not less to do with sin than with just the overall community, the overall group of people that call themselves Satanists that have been dealing with one another. You know, you, me, TC, we all may have our own networks. We all have different people we connect with and we reach out to and we support, you know, and we, you know, we look out for. So when somebody says, you know, this guy is, you know, is being an asshole, well, you know, we look at that person and we go, you know what, I know this guy. I know TC. So if TC says that this guy's being an asshole, more than likely this guy's being an asshole. I trust TC's opinion. And there have been some people that have been basically talking. I'm trying to figure out how to say this. They're not happy that this group, this circle of people, these people that have established themselves, that they know one another, that they've, you know, earned each other's mutual respect, that this group is swiftly responds to situations from outside the group. And there aren't any specific examples. I mean, there's a bunch of them that come to mind. But, you know, basically what they're saying is that we're a clique, that there's this clique of, you know, of people who are in that can do no wrong as far as the others are concerned. And to that, I would say, you know, in my opinion, absolutely there's a clique. Absolutely, there's a group of people who have learned to trust one another, who have earned one another's respect, and when it comes to a little bullshit on the internet or whatever, we've got each other's back. And as far as I'm concerned, if you didn't meet those standards, if you didn't make the cut for whatever reason, and now you're on the outside crying about it or bitching about it, tough shit.
Yeah, well, you know, I would agree with that up to a certain extent. I try to make it, you know, a little bit more democratic, but not at the same time where it's like everybody's equal in the sense where everybody has, you know, just as much pull or weight, because not everybody has proven themselves. Not everybody has the same social relations with one another. And you're right. I mean, a lot of people are, you know, tried and true through the test of time. But at the same time, I try to avoid, and it doesn't happen very often, so it's almost not worth mentioning, but since I'm already on the topic, I try to avoid, like, seeing a mob mentality. And usually the people that claim that or cry that are usually the people that aren't getting the respect that they feel that they deserve and are the people that are constantly posting stupid shit and getting beat up over it. I mean, it's really not that hard to get along, you know. Usually, I mean, there are examples where there has been some unfairness, if you want to call it that, but 95% of the time, it's pretty accurate. If a bunch of people gang up on you and it happens just to be the same, you know, handful or dozen of people, it's typically because, well, these dozen people are generally the brightest and the most, contribute the most and the most intelligent and the most established. And they don't necessarily just mimic one another. They just so happen that they're of a like mind and call your bullshit.
Right. It's always blowing my mind when somebody gets into a forum like this and thinks that just because they call themselves a Satanist and they've picked up a copy of the Satanic Bible, that they're automatically going to get respect from those other people that they're dealing with that call themselves Satanists, or these people that, you know, maybe they have years of experience behind themselves. You know, they've been involved in, you know, a witch's coven or whatever. They've earned, you know, whatever degrees or titles. And they expect that those degrees and titles will mean something when they find themselves in a completely new forum. And it's like, you know what, with all those degrees and titles and whatever it is you've earned, wasn't there any kind of experience where you had to deal with people, where you had to be a little bit more political or tactful or what have you? It always, you know, I always find that, you know, laughingly surprising when I see that kind of thing.
Beast, what do you have to say about that?
Oh, man, I'm floating here, floating off in the space. I mean, all in all, whatever. I get so tired of people bitching and complaining about other people. It's just beyond me, man. You know, people do what they do. Some people are retarded. I see retarded shit all the time and think to myself, oh, my God, that person's retarded. But, you know,
they usually know it. What strikes me as weird, because, you know, I mean, I'm sure you get them too, but I'm usually probably the main one that gets all the butthurt emails. This person sucks, picking on me. And it's like, you know, if someone sends me a butthurt email about somebody picking on them, about something that's unfair, you know, I generally will turn up the heat on them just because it annoys me that they do that. But also, it's like, it amazes me how many people forget the two magic words. Fuck you. I mean, what, you can't tell this guy he's giving you a hard time in the forums? Fuck you. No, you got to cry about it. You got to whine about it and say how it's unfair. Everyone's ganging up on you. Well, maybe you should shut the fuck up and, like, you know, drop out of it for a little bit or, you know, whatever. Or just tell everybody to fuck you, you know, without being, like, total ghetto, you know, nigga slang type shit.
Right. And I mean, that's something else. It's like, you know, if the forum sucks that bad, if you're being treated so poorly, so unfairly, if you're not getting the respect you think you deserve, why do you keep going? Why do you keep trying to hang out there? You know, what is it you're trying to accomplish? If you're so fucking unhappy, what is it? Why do you keep coming back? Why do you keep asking for the abuse? That's another thing that just kind of blows my mind. But yeah, man, I just wanted to touch on that. It was things that was percolating in my brain as I was checking things out this week. So cool. So Zach, have you seen the new design?
Yeah, well, I didn't see it until just 20 minutes ago when you posted the link. But yeah, I like it, man. Good job. Nice job. Okay.
And you had asked. I sent you an email, and I don't know if you had a chance. I knew you had some shit going on this week. I sent you an email. I finally got around to doing my little banner logo or my banner ad for the Sin site. So look for that in your email, and I'll resend it or whatever if I have to. TC should have gotten a copy of that also already. I appreciate the offer. So I just haven't had time to actually put it together until just recently. So
okay,
cool.
Awesome. Yeah, put that in TC's email box because I'm a retard when it comes to making hard links on the front page. I always have to resend it to him anyway. So might as well just bypass
me. Right on. All right, cool, man.
Now, I think somebody called that already.
Oh, you know, one more thing I wanted to add, though, is I was getting ready to go outside, so I was getting my jacket on. I heard something mentioned about the 600 Club. Like, the 600 Club's long been criticized for being too strict in their forms, too strict in their policies, you know, just too harsh and judgmental on people. And I was actually, you know, critical of that, too. When I went to 600 Club, I mean, my experience there was short and sweet. Although I'm back, I'm starting to kind of understand, because they've been around for 10 years, ish, or maybe a little more. I'm starting to understand why, you know, they are the way they are, because they've built their community, and that's what it's called, the Satanic community. You know, they've built that with the people that they feel contribute the most and are most intelligent, and they do a lot more to cut back the fat, than my network does, because mine's set up more as a social network, and it has a lot more activity and a lot more people come, you know, so it's kind of harder to filter these people. So I'm trying to find a balance in the scent, but it's going to step up a little bit. It's going to get a little hotter in there, a little stricter. Not so much as far as the forums go, just in general, like, you know, less tolerant for idiots, less tolerant for people that just will refuse to follow site policies, which are very general. Be mature, you know, don't act like a dumbass, don't post porn, you know, that's basically it. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say.
Right on, man.
Yeah, man.
All right, guys. Well, I'll let you get back to your show.
All right. Cool. Cool. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right. Later, guys.
Later.
Now, what's next on the bucket list?
Oh, I got all kinds of shit. We were talking at the beginning of the show. There's a website. Okay. First of all, during the Super Bowl halftime show, Madonna was the person performing. I'm sure a lot of people have seen the story, or at least, you know, I'm assuming because it's been all over the internet, about how there are a lot of people coming out and pointing out how the Madonna halftime show was some sort of satanic ritual. And one of the main sites that was putting this out there is a site called HollywoodIlluminati.com, all of that spelled out. So HollywoodIlluminati.com is the title. And it's actually, it looks like the URL is Hollywood Illuminati and then the standard dot and then com. But anyways, this particular site, actually, when it was first going around the news cycle, I saw things about, you know, oh, Madonna's halftime show was satanic. And I looked at it, I looked at what was being said, and it sounded like a bunch of, you know, Bible thumpers getting scared about the shit they were seeing or looking for something to be there that probably really wasn't. But anyways... this site, this particular blog, caught my attention again because a friend of mine on DeviantArt, who's a fellow artist, had some of his artwork show up on the blog. And I didn't catch it the first time I saw the blog, but some of his work actually showed up on this guy's blog without his permission, you know, for the use of that, for that artwork on the blog. And he wrote a blog about it. And he was all butthurt about it. You know, he's pissed off. And, you know, my thing has been... You know, there was a time way back when in my career where I, you know, would get upset about this kind of thing, where, you know, hey, I made that and everything else, and it's my artwork, and fuck, I don't want you, you know, taking it and using it, and for any reason whatsoever, it's mine. And it just, you know, fighting that fight, trying to find different ways to copyright protect it and make sure it couldn't be lifted and everything else, it just got ridiculous. And I finally just came to the conclusion that pretty much, you know, if I put it out there on the internet, I want people to see it. You know, that's the thing about being an artist. I want people to enjoy and appreciate the work. So if somebody takes an image from, you know, from my website or whatever, uses it someplace else, if they do give me credit for the effort, that's great. That's awesome. You know, that's all I can really ask. You know, if they go around and they buy something from the website, super. You know, that really, I really, really, really appreciate that. But if they find something on my website they like so much, they lift it and they use it someplace else. You know, and if they do manage to credit me, cool. If they don't manage to credit me, well, you know, they used it, and it's still out there, still being seen. So that's appreciated also. And I talked about how I wanted to go ahead and on the website just go ahead and post someplace that everything, you know, anything here, if it's mine, you want to lift it and use it, knock yourself out. I haven't gotten to that point yet because my daughter has some artwork on that website. And she's not far enough along in her career to make that decision yet, so we're trying to work out how all that's going to work as far as her stuff's concerned. But that said, this particular site, this blog, HollywoodIlluminati.com, it was crazy because the guy's like, you know, this guy's stealing artwork from me, and he's posting on his blog. And the way this stuff was used is it was used to show as an example of the color scheme that Satanists use. And apparently this guy was making a big deal about how red and black and gold are colors used in Satanism and blah, 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 right? So I go to this guy's page. I check this blog out, and I go to this guy's page, and I'm scrolling down through. There's a lot of artwork on here. You know, there's Eliphas Levy's Baphomet. There's a, you know, there's a really, you know, I don't know who Lucifer this is, but a real classical Lucifer image. And then I get down to a sigil of Baphomet, or sigil of Satan, was actually the title I used when I designed this thing more than 10 years ago. And I was like, shit, there's some of my artwork, all right? And I thought, in my mind, that was cool, you know, that there's some of my artwork on this guy's blog. But of course, this particular design is really old, man. It's like one of the worst things. If he's going to use something of mine, this is one of the worst things he could pick. And what he really did was he did a Google search for, you know, Satan and symbols and whatever, and he found this. And for whatever reason, he picked this one over, say, the Church of Satan's, you know, sigil of Baphomet or whatever, for whatever reason. So here it is, and this thing has been whored out and used by so many different groups and so on so many different websites. But there was not surprising to see that my little name had been taken off the design and everything else. But there it is on this particular blog. And I'm going to go ahead and copy this. Or better yet, what I'll do, no, I'll copy this here. I'll post a link to the blog. If you want to chuckle, man, I mean, there's all this guy, the dude's deal basically is he's watching the Hollywood media. And what he's doing is he's looking for patterns and seeking out conspiracy from the Hollywood elite. So it's just kind of a crazy fucking blog. But anyways, so I sent this dude a message and thought I was being cool. Just basically because I was like, hey, man, just to let you know, saw my artwork on there. Thank you for using my artwork. It'd be really cool if you're going to use other people's artwork, if you could give them credit for it, basically, but not a big deal as far as I'm concerned. However, on the other side of things, the friend of mine whose artwork you're also using is really not happy about it. And you might want to shoot him a message or whatever to make sure it's cool to use his artwork. So I thought that I was being, you know, being cool about it, not being a dick, okay? The response I get from this guy, the guy's name is CreoleGuy32, and he's the guy who puts up this blog. His response is, listen, buddy, for your sake, I suggest you get out of my face. I don't run ads on this site, and I do not profit from this site. I'm making no money off any of your artwork, he has that in quotation, and being that it is fair use clause because it is related to the news, I think you need to get a life and tell Google to stop making it free online. I'm using it as part of a narrative, and no one is knocking down my door to buy your silly, once again in quotations, art. Okay, that was the guy's response to my friendly, you know, comment message to him. So you know, he just kind of lost his mind online. So now I'm like, okay, you're going to be a dick. You're going to be a douchebag. I'm not even asking him to fucking, you know, credit me for the work. It was just a nice little friendly thing. And I wrote a blog about how, you know, hey, this guy, he's using some of my artwork. Really, really cool that, you know, my artwork can use. Here's a link to the blog so you can see my artwork. I like to do that when people use my work in magazines or books or whatever. To let, you know, let people know, hey, some of my artwork is once again showing up at this place. So check it out. but anyways, this guy's kind of now being a douche. So he's made it onto the ooze, and he's made it onto my blog and me talking about it. But I was surprised, really, for those people who are artists and everything. Here's a comment right here: making money or not, stealing is stealing. I thought that way. I agreed with that at one point. But the fair use clause basically says, and I'm not going to read the whole thing to you because it's kind of wordy and the wording's kind of convoluted. But the short version is that if you see an image or something or documents or something like that, and you're using those images or those documents for criticism, for comments, for news reporting, for teaching, scholarship, research, and you're not making any money doing it, it's not an infringement of a copyright. And they take a bunch of things into consideration, you know, that the character of its use, whether it's commercial for nonprofit use, you know, the nature of the copyrighted work, the amount of substantiality of the portion used in relation to copyrighted work as a whole. So if I were doing a book on satanic art and I lifted images from the internet and didn't credit the artists, you know, modern artists for their recent creations of satanic art, but the book itself is about satanic art as a whole. So I've got all kinds of artwork and all kinds of research data, and I've got one piece from some dude, some modern dude that I failed to credit. the people that actually make decisions about this kind of thing would kind of look at it and go, well, you know what, there's this, it's a huge volume, and this, we're talking about one piece of artwork, probably not a big deal. And of course, the effect of the use upon the potential market for or value of the copyrighted work. In other words, is the use of this work impacting the artist's ability to earn a profit from it? And a lot of times, like this particular piece on that's being used in this blog, you know, first of all, it's an old piece, so I'm not going to earn any more fucking money from it as far as I'm concerned. I don't think it's ever going to get any more money out of that thing. But then the other thing is, I guess, if it were a newer piece of work, you know, if somebody really liked it, maybe they would go looking for it. Maybe actually I could earn some money from this, these people using it. So yeah, and there's apparently YouTube has a thing about that also. And it's, I guess it's a little bit different when we're talking about film versus art. But
yeah,
I know there are other artists out there. Go ahead, dude.
I was just going to say, as far as I know, it is a bit different between film and art. Film in itself is a little more allowable in terms of what can be considered, I don't know, a news article, where I think it's a little more black and white when you're talking about an image.
Right. Well, I guess if I were using a snippet from a movie, let's say Rosemary's Baby, but I was doing an overall documentary of, you know, Satanism in film, or whatever, you know, or, you know, the devil in film or whatever. And the majority of what I was doing was my own original stuff. And Rosemary's Baby was a snippet I used, along with several other snippets. It's questionable as to whether or not, you know, I could do so without permission from the people that actually own it, Paramount or Warner Brothers, whoever actually owns it. Anyways. Some shit going on in the chat room, apparently. Lehi's actually at my place. He's in another room. He's actually listening to the show. So now it's throwing me off, too. What's that?
Right there.
Oh, they're saying they're not getting any sound from me.
Yeah, nobody is. From anybody. I mean, I can hear you.
Can you hear TC?
No, we can't hear anyone.
Hey, we're not transmitting.
No, we're not transmitting anymore. Zach's commenting in the chat room, so he's. I don't know. Lehi might just have to refresh. He's been in here since about 6 before. And you
well,
got to refresh him every hour.
Somebody else is saying that they're not hearing it. Okay. So, hey, the folks in the chat room, if you're listening to the show, if you can hear us, if you can hear us, let us know that you can actually hear the show, and try refreshing and letting people know that, you know, hey, you need to refresh your browser or whatever. It happens, I guess, sometimes. Somebody said we're talking about random shit and random shit. Yeah, we're talking about random shit, and random shit happens. That's funny. Somebody says, I think Jake's work is okay. That's nice. The gist of this little tale about the HollywoodIlluminati.com is that this guy, man, while he might be, he's fully in his right to use the work. He found it on Google or whatever, and he used it for his piece. He's not trying to make any money off of it and everything else. Still, he kind of handled the whole situation like a douchebag. So I wanted to come out here and put it out there to the world, basically, that this dude from HollywoodIlluminati.com, he's not the only one that has a blog. He's not the only one that has access to the internet. And it's not cool to, you know, when somebody reaches out to you and says, hey, man, you might be concerned about this, you shouldn't be a douchebag to people. So in the opinion of Jason Sorrell, the guy who runs HollywoodIlluminati.com is a douchebag. And that was my bit on that. So,
you know,
we got
I honestly think the dude is deserving. That letter he sent you, that message he sent you is deserving enough that he could be, the full "you're a douchebag" treatment from everybody who's listening. So the web address was HollywoodIlluminati.com. Is that right?
Right. HollywoodIlluminati.com. Let me go ahead and put that back in there. And he's really picky about the little bullshit, the comments and everything else. I mean, and that, because that's the thing. He's got this is how off this guy is. He's got about 30 some comments that actually have been posted on his blog. He's allowed to get through. So he's monitoring, of course, moderating the comments, and that's entirely his right to do so. But his response to my comment is posted. What I just read out to everybody, that rant is posted as on his comments page. But the original comment that I gave him is not posted. Okay, so there's nothing referencing this rant. He's just ranting as far as anybody who doesn't know what's going on is concerned. Like he's talking to himself or talking to a ghost in the room or something. So it's just kind of that kind of dude. So go on there, and if you do what you do, as far as comments and shit like that. But yeah, the guy seems to have a lot of people picking on him is what I guess where I'm going with this, and for good reason apparently. So
he means kick a bunch.
Right, right. And yeah, and so he responds poorly to this kind of thing. So we got about 2 minutes and 50 seconds left before the top of the hour. I had a couple other things to talk about, but it's not going to be an hour's worth of show, another hour's worth of show. Do you want to keep going, or what do you want to do, man?
Man, I'm not like cashed out or anything. I can hang for a little bit. I mean, we don't have to fill the full hour, but if you got other stuff you want to touch on, let's go ahead and get it out there.
Okay. Let's see. Another thing that has caught my attention for some time, and I'm enjoying this, and I'm not siding one way or the other with what's going on. I'm just observing, and I'm finding it interesting. Allison Jones, Coruscant of the Cult of Cthulhu. It's not talking shit about them. So if you think that's where this is going, it is not. She has been engaged in an online back and forth, a little smear campaign between herself, and Tom Blackwood of the Temple of Satan. And people's opinions of both groups, they vary. Both Blackwood and the Cult of Cthulhu, they have a significant number of followers and everything else. And what I find, and they both have their, I'm sure they both have their pros and their cons and what have you. So I'm just a neutral observer, regardless of my history with the Cult of Cthulhu or whoever. What I find interesting is, I mean, these videos they're putting out, there's a lot of time involved, it seems like. Blackwood is putting out these videos that are little cartoons that have the little Stephen Hawking voices that go back and forth. And these little cartoon characters obviously have pre-designed, reactions and different little things they do. And they speak, in these little, Stephen Hawking voices. And it's Blackwood going after Venus Satanis and Allison Jones, Coruscant, and Derek Bischoff, Ender Satanis. And then, Allison has turned around and responded with, her own videos where she's putting out some information about Tom Blackwood. I don't know if there was an attempt of Tom to hit on Allison Jones or what went down or what was going on. But the videos, I mean, both of them are putting out, they're hilarious videos. They're just funny fucking videos to watch. It sucks, I guess, that these two people who talk about how much they have going on as far as, what they do in their lives, what they do for the occult and their research and their study. They both, they both say they're very studied, very, involved and busy people. And to have the time, the kind of time to put out these videos, it's either sad or amazing, one way or the other. I don't know, TC, have you seen these videos?
Yeah, I've seen these videos, man. I've been watching the whole thing all along. It kind of actually cracks me off because they're perfect for each other. They will they will perpetuate each other until the end of time, and they keep themselves busy, and they both have valid arguments. So it's kind of fun for me to watch, definitely. I mean, and the best part about it is it's one trying to defend the honor of their friend against the other, and it's really just hilarious.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to, it's like, to understand how it's kind of mutated and everything, because I'm not involved. I'm an observer. Again, I see the videos. Tom Blackwood actually has a persona or a handle on Facebook, Tom Rasputnik. And Rasputnik sent me a friend request a long time ago. And I just, you know, when people send me a friend request on Facebook, I pretty much blanket, you know, add them to my friends list and everything. I really wasn't looking into it. I stopped doing it for a little while. And for a little while, if you didn't know so many of my friends, I wasn't going to add you or whatever. And I changed my mind about that. So pretty much everybody that sends me a friend request gets added. And then, of course, they get the little birthday e-card that I send out and the little, you know, I send a card out for, you know, thanks for adding me to your friends list. So if you want crazy artwork on your Facebook wall or your timeline now, sign me up on your friends list and that shit will happen. But anyway, so that's how I end up, you know, seeing Rasputnik stuff. Coruscant, of course, Allison, I've known from, you know, from her stuff on the Poison Apple, her website, from the Cult of Cthulhu. And just some scene, you know, we know of each other and, you know, have been not necessarily friendly with one another, but not, you know, shitty with each other either. So I kind of see this thing. It seems to me that Blackwood initiated it. Like if this is something that, you know, he did because. And this is my thinking, having observed Blackwood and his process before, is that he saw a group of people who were getting some attention as Satanists, getting some attention as, you know, being involved in the occult, forming an organization, whatever. And when Blackwood sees that, he tries to line them up, basically. He tries to, you know, where do you stand as far as his Temple of Satan, as far as his legitimate claim as the true, you know, whatever. You know, he used to be a member of the Church of Satan, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to remember all the... What's that?
They both point fingers at each other and say, he started it. There's no telling where it actually began. I know that at one point they were buddy-buddy. You would have figured that there was a threesome going in calamari and goat's blood, but... it's just gotten to a point where, like, I know Blackwood called Allison a fraud first, and then Allison responded with Blackwood being a fraud, and you know, they just kind of point their finger at each other and say, you're this. No, you're this. No, you're this. No, you're this. My five-year-old has these kind of arguments with his friends. It's entertaining for a little while, and then it just gets annoying.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, I watch the videos because, like I said, you know, they become more, ever more creative in their efforts to tear one another down. And it's like you said earlier, it seems like initially Blackwood was going after Derek. And then he turned around when Allison kind of stepped up and said, you know, he called and started calling him out on it, and he turned his attention to Allison. And for whatever reason, Venus Satanis got involved in the mix. You know, Blackwood decided to go after her also. I don't know what the hell is going on there. And somebody just called in from the 720 area code, and I was about to click on your to bring you on, and then you dropped off the line. So if you want to call back in. The takeaway I get from this is, first of all, it's very entertaining. As far as I'm concerned, if I wanted a little bit of distraction from my busy day, I want to chuckle about something. Well, I see one of these videos pop up. I make sure to, you know, watch it at some point because it's, I mean, and it is. It's infantile. In a lot of ways, it's very infantile.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
No, go ahead, dude. Go ahead, man.
I was going to say, it's so funny because I'm not sure if these things are even real. At points, they almost seem orchestrated. I mean, after a while, you can kind of go, okay, now he's going to say this, and now she's going to say that, and they will. It goes in a circle. It's like it's almost sketched out, like they're collaborating on it for attention. On the other hand, the other thing that kind of pops into my mind is, I mean, potentially they watch a lot of reality TV and they're emulating what they see.
Yeah. I could definitely see. That would be impressive, I think, if they were to if word were to come out it was all orchestrated, and this little war between the Temple of Satan and the Cult of Cthulhu, if you want to even call it that, which I don't think I'd even call it that.
Well,
this little thing,
have
this
a war between six people.
Right. There you go.
Come on.
This little tiff, man, between these characters, it was orchestrated to drive people in from wherever the fucking internet they'd be watching this shit. But to see the whole. As far as predictability is concerned, I think just we've seen so much of it. You know, it's so common, you know, that we've seen. I find it's a testament, I guess, to just the resources that are available to you on the internet. I mean, there's a website someplace where you can make your own little 3D cartoons. And have these people, you know, they have predetermined reactions, and they speak their parts, you just type in the text, and the little cartoons speak it and everything else. I mean, that's impressive to me. When we started the show, you talked about how you've got, you know, you're going to be looking into the actual machine fabrication, tattoo fabrication from solid pieces of metal. And you know, so when I see something online where they've got a three-dimensional photocopier, basically, they've got this machine that you put a design into it, and it pumps a resin into this vat, and the resin settles along a particular set of, you know, whatever the definition of the design is you want. So a tattoo machine, let's say, and even with the moving parts, it produces, you know, the design, you know, this as a three-dimensional copy, a very sturdy copy. So I'm looking for that. I'm looking for the first tattoo machine made from that kind of shit. So when this new kind of these innovations of technology come along, I'm just always impressed. So the nerd in me is like, you know, wow, that's a cool little cartoon, you know?
Yeah.
And if folks want to call in 347-989-1371, we're talking about a whole bunch of different shit tonight. Just kind of whatever, random shit. That was one of the things. And I guess the only downside is to all this, it's like, you know, all three of those people, it's interesting, I think, to see that Derek has actually kind of stayed out of it. I don't know if it's because, you know, he's busy with the wife and kid and everything else or what the deal is, that he's, you know, he's pretty much between Blackwood and Allison Jones right now. But it's like all three, as much time and effort as they put into their organizations, as much stuff as they've done, I mean, you know, positive things. You just think that there'd be better things to do. And I know the mentality is, you know, you get more, apparently in amongst Satanists, amongst people of the occult, you draw more attention with vinegar than you do with honey. The opposite of the way it works anywhere else. So, and
but,
we're well aware of that. We've done that shit. What's that?
As far as Derek not really being in it, I mean, he probably did the Derek thing, and he's taken the high road, he's going to do the right thing, and the respectable thing, and that's what Derek does. So, I mean, I got to be honest.
What's that, buddy?
Go ahead,
dude. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I uh, I'm rooting for Allison, man. I'm rooting. I think she's going to kick both of their asses. I mean, if I got to watch this, I at least got to pick one to win, and she's it. So hopefully, if she hears this, she knows. Hey, I'm rooting for you. Keep up with the internet drama.
Well, you know what? A mark of a good administrator is what I was going to say is when you delegate, you know, responsibility to other people. You know, a good leader, you know, the art of war. When you've got generals under you to take the heat. When you know you walk away clean and it's your soldiers that you know get the shit all over them. You know that says something. And I can't say for you know with it. I have trouble saying that Derek Dishaw has that in him to make that kind of, you know, decision, make that kind of command, you know, choice basically. But it's, I don't know. It's fun to watch, man. It's been entertaining and it caught my attention. So that's why I'm talking about it tonight. So, I mean, if anything, kudos to all three of them for getting my attention. And once again, being mentioned on the Ooze because, you know, we're a small tight knit community and like it or not, you know, those people are part of that community. So
it makes me want to convert to Hinduism fully. It just does.
So, oh man, the only other couple of things I had to talk about, we had Mardi Gras coming up Tuesday. Do you have any plans?
Mardi Gras Tuesday. Shit. No, I don't actually have any plans, no.
Yeah, we went down to 6th Street, Jamie and I, a few years back, and it was, you know, everything you expect for Mardi Gras on 6th Street in Austin, Texas. You know, a bunch of college-age dudes with beads and a bunch of chicks, you know, showing their tits for the beads. And that year, I remember there was this one chick, man, she was pissed. Because she asked, you know, she said, you know, this dude was like, come on, I'll give you some beads, show me your tits. And he had some really crazy-ass nice beads, these great big beads on and everything else. And she's, like, negotiating with them and everything. Now, first of all, you're down there on 6th Street, you're drinking, you're trying to get beads. Guess what? The way it works in New Orleans, I guess, is if you show your tits and then you get beads, they throw beads at you for showing your tits. There's no negotiation. There's no back and forth. You do it, beads show up, and you try to get as much beads as possible. This chick had her eye on a particular set of beads that this guy was wearing. So she shows her tits, right? And, of course, everybody's got cell phone cameras and everything. Everybody's going, you know, flashing off and everything because you've never seen a pair of tits before, apparently. These are college dudes. I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on there. Maybe it's just me. I'm jaded, you know, tattoo artist and everything else, you know. It's like boobs. Oh, look, a butterfly. But anyways, she's like, you know, she shows her tits. Everybody takes pictures of it or whatever. And then he hands her, like, the scrawniest string of beads he had around his neck, right? The littlest little thing of beads. She loses her fucking mind, man. Like, her friends had to hold her back. You know, she still got her tits out. She wants to kill this dude over some beads. So we're probably not going this year, but I want to make a point to sometime within the next couple of years to we're going to rent a hotel room and be down there. We keep talking about it. We're going to be down there and just camp out someplace and watch the shit go down just because, you know, I think people are funny. So that's going on, but not this year. We're not really doing anything with it. Because it's just too damn soon. I was trying to figure out what was going on. I looked in the calendar to see how soon Mardi Gras was coming because I knew it was coming up. And I was like, oh, shit, it's this Tuesday. The event that I am looking at doing something is St. Patty's Day, March 17th, a few weeks from now, man. Do you have any plans for that?
Man, I haven't thought past tomorrow morning getting up and going to school. So, no, I don't. I'm sure I'll do something on St. Patty's Day, though, because I usually do, man. Just to kind of poke fun at the holiday, I'll wait until people are starting to get good and sloshed and show up at the public events and fuck with drunk people. And, you know, I'll pick out atheists that are celebrating it and remind them that they're celebrating the day that Saint Patrick drove the pagan religions out, made Ireland a Christian nation, and you know, that kind of thing. It's usually a day of torture for me. I have fun doing it. I mean, they don't celebrate Saint Patrick's Day in Ireland. It's an American holiday anyway, so it's just fun to fuck with people.
Right on, right on. And I, you know, I figured that St. Patrick's Day, that'd be something you'd be a little bit about because, you know, your Celtic heritage and stuff. But yeah, when we get into it, it's just a day to be drinking and bullshitting downtown or whatever. So I'm looking at being downtown for St. Patrick's Day. And Sixth Street, by the way, for those people who haven't been to Austin, Sixth Street is not someplace you want to party at frequently. Sixth Street, man, is good maybe once or twice a year. And it's usually, you know, it's like I said, college kids, a bunch of guys getting drunk, a bunch of chicks, you know, talking shit and, you know, causing trouble, causing fights and shit like that. You know, people pissing on the sidewalk. It's that kind of place. So not the best place to, not the best place in the world to be. But when it gets really crazy, like a Mardi Gras or St. Patty's Day, New Year's, whatever, then it can be a little bit fun. So, yeah, I'm thinking about going to Badeau's for St. Patty's Day. It's the Irish pub here in Austin. So, you know, doing it that way, doing it right, being at the Irish pub for St. Patty's Day, drinking some Guinness and talking shit. I am going to try to get some artwork done for St. Patty's Day, though, also. So I have a little design in mind. I have a couple of little designs in mind. They're going to be a little bit different. They're not zombies. They're not demon girls. They should be something... a little more festive, basically, a little more interesting. So that's my plan.
Right on.
So yeah, that was what I was going to talk about as far as, you know, yeah, that was pretty much it. I guess I've had a weird rash of, it seems like every week I think I talk about this, I've had a weird rash here lately of people calling to get tattoos. They weren't talking about getting a tattoo and everything, and I'm trying to figure out what my deal is. So here's the thing. If you got some advice for me, the phone number is 347-989-1371. I advertise on Craigslist for tattoos, and I pretty much know of these tattoos I do out of a workstation I maintain in my home. I am a professionally trained tattoo artist, shop-trained tattoo artist. I have shop experience and everything that I tattoo at for the time being. Any work I get off of Craigslist, I tattoo, you know, from my home, basically. And I'm cutting a deal. I'm doing a deal, basically, when I do these tattoos out of my home. So my minimum is $25. All right. So a little tattoo, $25. That's, you know, that's the least expensive I will go, you know, to make sure I cover my supplies and whatever little time I'm involved in doing the tattoo. So that's my minimum. And in my ad, I post that. It is my minimum. That's the starting price is $25. Okay. Lately, I get people calling in. They're calling me up. They want to get tattoos. I had a chick call up. She wanted a tattoo between her tits. She wanted the name David the Third. So David and the Roman numeral 3, just in a nice cursive. And I'm thinking, okay. And she's like, how big do you want it? And first of all, you know, when I say how big do you want it, the answer is always like, not too big, or kind of small. I just want to get a small tattoo. That's another one that came up this week. But anyways, this chick, she wants to get this David in between her tits. And I tell her, sure, I'll do that for, you know, $25. It can't be that big. How much space is in between your breasts? You know, unless she's some sort of fucking mutant, you know, how much, you know, space could be there? She said she wanted the tattoo actually only about an inch tall. So I figured David about an inch tall, yeah, it's $25. That's fine. And I'm thinking, you know, half shade if she wants, drop shadow if she wants. So... You never know what, you know, with me, when you come to me and get a tattoo, I tell you $25 or $50 or $100 or whatever. I try to put, you know, like $75, $150, $300 worth of work into it because I want to make sure that when it's done, it's something that's going to show up in my portfolio or it's going to be work that you're going to show to people and you're going to go, yeah, this guy, Jason Sorrell, get a hold of him because this is the work he does for $25. Okay. So, you know, I try to, you know, I think, I take some pride in my work and what I do. So I tell her $25, man. And she, okay, well, I got to think about it. And so it sounded like, you know, okay, what, what fucking price did you think I was going to tell you? You saw my ad. Minimum's $25. I just told you. You're at the ground floor. $25. I'll do your tattoo. A 20 and a 5, man. What is it about that price that's killing you? Did it break your bank? So I'm like, what's going on? You know, and it's like that. I'll have somebody call me up. They want names. Then when I said somebody goes, I want a small tattoo. I get a text message. Hey man, I just want to get a couple small tattoos. How much? Well, fuck, I don't know how much, man. What do you want your small tattoos of? Oh, just a couple of names. Okay, cool. You want a couple of names? What are the names? Jody. And no. This tattoo was a phrase. The phrases were, every saint has a past. That was one tattoo, and then every sinner has a future. Okay, so this person is deep, or listens to music from the 70s. I don't know. One or the other. Okay, so this is the These are the tattoos they want to get, and it's two of them. So one friend is getting the saint's tattoo. The other friend's getting the sinner's tattoo. So I'm like, but they said small tattoos. And I go, man, small tattoo, that's a lot of words for a small tattoo. How big do you want the words? Like, how tall do you want the letters? 1 inch, 2 inch, what are we talking about? And the answer, I guess, I don't know. These are forearm tattoos. And I go, do you mean you're going to have them on your forearm, kind of running from, one side of your arm to the other side of the arm? And no, from elbow to wrist. That's not a small tattoo, man. I was like, what the hell? So I think I told him like $60. Oh well, I don't know, man. I'll get back with you. Like, it's $60. I know that tattoo might be $150 to some shops. Again, I don't know. I don't know what I'm missing. I don't know what's going on and everything. And here's my thing about shop prices, okay? You're apprenticing the shop, so this may come up. I don't know. Tattoo shops, the artists, like the shop I worked at, we made 50% of whatever we did. So, and all of our supplies were taken care of. So it was a great setup. Okay, you would think the artists, some places do 60-40 or even 70-30 if you've got some experience. I've heard rarely will they go 80-20. But what happens in those situations also is you have to pay for your own supplies. So this place, 50-50, pay for your own supplies and everything. But then here we are trying to generate business. Here we are, we're all decent artists. We're all good at what we do. And we're trying to find ways to get people to walk in the door. We took a lot of walk-ins. The guy who actually was teaching me to tattoo, he started focusing. He got smart about it. He started focusing on return business. He started focusing on getting his clients to come back in. And eventually his book of business was, more than a month in advance. So, this is who I learned from, which is why I'm able to basically maintain the way I do in my household. But anyways, the dude, the thing about the shop prices is when you take a tattoo that you're doing and you say, okay, our minimum is going to be $50. This means the artist is going to get $25. And if it's a little tattoo that takes longer to set up than to do the tattoo itself, the person that's getting the tattoo has to question in their mind, I make $10 an hour. I make $20 an hour. And this guy just did 15 minutes worth of work, and I'm giving him $50. Okay? On the one hand, a tattoo is a tattoo. It's permanent. There's that value there. But on the other hand, the reality of it is, you know what, would you go anywhere else and get paid? I mean, if you're getting $50 for 15 minutes worth of work, that means that you're getting $200 an hour. Where would you go and get $200 an hour doing what we do? So going back and forth, it's just kind of like, where do you break that down as far as the price? And then you turn around and go, this, as far as the price is concerned, you offer these people these deals, and they're not beating a path to your door. So I'm just not sure what to do with this.
there's I don't know, there are little devices that you can purchase at like Spencer's, or sometimes you can find it at the flea market, and you press the button and it says things like, eat shit, you fucking jerk, and,
right.
Drop dead, stuff like that. You know, those are the kinds of things that I think that are appropriate for that kind of thing. I mean, honestly, man, if you can't fucking spend $25 on a tattoo, then you have no business getting one. I mean, what do you want, a tattoo for $5.50? You know, you can have a tattoo for $5.50, but it comes with hepatitis. It's like, that's the clause, you know, because the tattoo artist isn't going to be able to buy new needles. Probably can't pay for the soap to really clean out his tubes, and most definitely doesn't own his own ultrasound or even an autoclave.
Right.
So it just blows me away, because what you're doing is not only permanent, it's not only something of intrinsic value, but it's also something that requires a considerable amount of money to do safely. You know what I'm saying?
Right on, right on. Yeah, yeah. And that's, I mean, you know, the work I do, you know, I do it, I have, you know, I use disposable tubes, disposable needles, all single use, professional setup and everything. So real quick, there's a dude in the chat room who's talking shit about Silver Dot's tattoo. That he, you know, oh, it's not, it's, it looks unfinished. Well, no shit, because there's not all the shading and everything else that needs to go into it and everything. It's mostly line work. And the dude who got the tattoo, Silver Dot, that's pretty much what he was going for. I would be more than happy to do more shading into that tattoo. But Silver Dot wasn't, you know, he there's only so much tattoo he could take in that one session. So when he's ready to come back and get more tattoo, it's all, we're all ready for it. I don't know what to say to this this guy. You know, it's like, again, there's a guy, well, I wouldn't, you know, whatever. I saw in the chat room, I appreciate that, you know, well, show me your book of work, buddy, or whatever. No, he's absolutely right. You know, if he saw that, you know, walking around, that tattoo right now is not in my portfolio, because in my opinion, it's not finished. But if you're going to take that one tattoo and go, oh, well, this is, you know, this is the quality of this guy's work or whatever, this one unfinished, obviously, tattoo is the quality of my work. You know what? You know, take a look at the website. Take a look at the tattoos that are, you know, in my portfolio on my website, and then come back to me and let me know what you fucking think. So, and okay, the lines are inconsistent. Again, it's not a finished tattoo. So,
when I would not even say the lines are inconsistent. I actually was looking over the line work not but maybe a day or two ago, and that I was just kind of nosing through your portfolio and your pictures on whatever it was, Facebook or wherever the hell it was that I saw the picture of Ken's tattoo there, and I realized that you actually have wavy lines in certain points on purpose, because it adds to the actual image. Like the sixes, they're not meant to be flush, easy lines. I mean, there's no point in people being critical of something just because it's not finished. And beyond that, I mean, shit. You show me one person who can draw a perfect line every single time. I mean, the guy I'm learning from spent tattoo in 34 years. He's got more trophies on his desk than most people have teeth in their mouth. He doesn't do a perfect, consistent line every single time. He still has to warm up to it.
Well, and you know, this dude, I mean, he's entitled to his opinion. The line work, he's talking about the line work. He's talking about the blowout line, depth. Sorry, Jace. You know what? I have trouble imagining that you can see that much detail in the picture of the tattoo that is online. So unless this guy is looking at Silver Dot's back up close and personal, which I'm pretty sure Silver Dot doesn't float that way. That's a lot of information. But as far as the work itself, again, it's an unfinished tattoo. There's a lot of corrections that need to be made. You know, his uncle's an artist. Well, you know, my dad's a brain surgeon. That doesn't mean that
What this is a horse's ass who's decided to sit down and watch Ink Masters for the past 5 episodes, and now he's a fucking expert. And I love people like this because these are the same idiots who tell their friends, you know, oh no, man! Don't wash your tattoo. Don't fucking put lotion on it. Just go ahead and let it dry heal. And if you get a big scab on it, hurry up and pick it off. I mean, that's the kind of advice that comes out of jackasses like this mouth.
Well, and you know, like I said, the guy, you know, he's entitled to his opinion, and he's gonna talk about that one tattoo, that one unfinished tattoo. I make money from my portfolio. So people look at my portfolio, they see the type of work I do, and they keep coming back, getting tattoos. I got repeat customers. I got a book of clients. So I'm not worried about what one clown, you know. Okay, Paul Booth is his uncle is what he's saying here. You see this in the chat room? Now I know he's full of shit. So his uncle, Paul Booth, is a badass. And I, you know what, when people who don't know anything about tattooing, when they want to talk about a great tattoo artist, they always come out with Paul Booth. You know, he's the one guy that pretty much all these parts. I'm surprised he didn't say his uncle was Kat Von D. So it's kind of like, geez, you know, it's like that kind of thing. You know, come a little bit stronger than that. You know, say Donnie Manco, say some people that, you know. You have to be in the industry to know who they are. If you're gonna pull names out of your ass, then go that route. Anyways, so I'm done with this dude. It's the whole thing with these people that most of my customers, when they come to me to get a tattoo and everything else, they know they're getting a deal, they know they're getting good work, and they're happy to get it. It's just every once in a while I get these rash of calls. One after the other. I mean, this was like Thursday, 3 or 4 calls, and it was the same thing over and over again. You know, oh, well, you know, I don't know. It sounds like it's a great price. I think I'm giving him a deal. And I actually, I'd been concerned about my pricing, that maybe I was pricing myself out of, you know, the market, basically. And, you know, at $25 for, you know, a small tattoo, what else can you do? You know, there's not much fucking else but other than getting it free. So.
Right on. Man, just when they get like that, tell them fuck off, dude. If they can't spend a few extra bucks, you know, to make sure that not only are they getting what they want and it's clean and it's safe, but the tattoo artist gets to fucking eat, and they're not worth fucking with, man. People like that, they're the jackasses that get desperate and let that idiot who claims he's a tattoo artist or his uncle's a tattoo artist and he's watched him, so he's an expert on tattoos. They let him go ahead and take his first crack at them and end up with a fucking something that looks like Barney on them, and it was supposed to be a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
And, you know, and it's, you know, people don't know what the value of the tattoo, and I agree with what the guy's saying here. You pay for what you get. You know, The dude is right as far as on that count. You know, my prices are half shop prices because the tattoos that I do for half shop prices I'm not doing in a shop. I agree with that. And if you want better quality when I have them, then you're going to go to a better artist and he's going to charge you more for it. You know, this is a guy look on the outside looking in and using an unfinished tattoo to make his decision on, you know, or make a judgment as to how I do as a tattoo artist, you know, what the fuck ever. And yet you're right. These people that I just wanted to make sure, I guess, I wanted to put it out there. It's kind of like, you know, who am I dealing with? You know, what these people, I've got people that, like I said, pay my prices, and those people know what they're getting. When they sit there and go, you know, $25 is too much or whatever, well, then you don't want a tattoo.
No, they don't, man. They don't want a tattoo. They want you to put fucking ink on them or something.
Right, right. They're looking for free work, basically, or something.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, how, man? You go to one of those fucking, like, Renfest Art Fair type fucking archy-fartsy shits, and what you end up with is realizing that even to just get people to paint henna on you or to get one of those fake airbrush tattoos, it's more than $25. So, and they're about the same fucking size. So you're getting something permanent in your skin for that price.
Right on, right on. Well, and that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about tonight. So I'm fucking ready to go.
Yeah, there is something. I mentioned it last night on last night's show, and I'm just kind of throwing it out there again so that everybody knows what's going on. But I decided I just, with my schedule being the way it is, I cannot continue to push three episodes. So I'm combining my Saturday and Wednesday episode into one show. I'm not really sure which of the 2 days it's going to be. I was going to kind of let Jeanette, you know, take the coin toss on that. I'd prefer it stayed on Saturday, but I'll do it Wednesday if that's the deal. But what I want to do is just put Lehigh, Jeanette, and me both all on the same show. I think it should actually add a nice dynamic to it. So,
right on, right on. Yeah. So cool, man.
So that's it, man. Other than that, I got I get scales to draw tomorrow on a pig's ears, so I'm ready to go to bed too.
All right, man. So we'll do this again next Sunday.
Yep, sounds good, bro.
All right, man. Later.
Later.